Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We have a change of venue with the tree damage in Muncie, but glad you could all make it today. And as we look forward to the events of the week, Friday, many of you remember Sonny Fry. Sonny's birthday is Friday. And this evening we'll be in Joshua chapter 2, Rahab's profession of faith. He is God. From Joshua 2, verses 8 to 14. But this morning we are in Joshua chapter 1, where Joshua, the new leader of the Israelites, is exhorted to follow the book, to do all by the book. Even as we are encouraged and exhorted in scriptures to live, to seek guidance, even to seek salvation. It is our guidebook for faith and practice. So as we get started this morning, Tom, would you open in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have gathered together around your word. And just so much appreciate what you've done for us at Calvary, Lord. We pray that the Spirit with us today. Just be with your speaker, Lord, and be with our listeners as we hear your word.
Amen. So as we recognize the significance of the Bible, the urgency of knowing it and diligently studying it, applying it to our lives, being not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, we must recognize its importance, not only for our present lives, but for eternity. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. The hymn is number 80.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he shall not hurt thee, I only need shall still in my bosom be born. Like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus at length for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Amen. Joshua was reminded the urgency of remembering the Word of God, for it proved the faithfulness of God. And we too need to remember the lessons of Scripture and how, as we recall God's faithfulness and His blessings, His sustaining power for the people of the past, His abiding presence in our present situation, and also the hope and the assurance of the future, both now and for eternity. The faithfulness of God is what we need to remember in our daily trials and tribulations. Great is thy faithfulness. The hymn is 27.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. The Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And we often make reference to it. The Scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we as Christians know its importance. But as we often commemorate a date in history, It is rather remarkable that on this date, April 2nd, the year 2007, even that traditionally left-leaning publication, Time Magazine, in an editorial called for returning the Bible to the public schools. The editor acknowledged its significance in understanding the narrative of American history. And he quoted the many times in which, down through history of this country, it has been quoted, cited, and applied to different situations. When the founding pilgrims established their colony in what is now Massachusetts, they made reference to a shining city on the hill in their expression of their desire for religious liberty and hope in a new world. But everyone knew that they were making reference to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Lincoln said that a house divided itself, divided against itself, cannot stand, he again was quoting familiar words from Jesus. When the abolitionists sought to abolish slavery, and they reminded everyone that the slaves are our brothers, that we are all of one blood, they were quoting the words of Philemon, as Paul wrote to encourage the acceptance of the former slave Onesimus, and also quoting that familiar passage from the book of Acts, that we are a human race of one blood. When Harriet Tubman offered her prayer, O Lord, thou hast been with me in six troubles. Don't forget me in the seventh. Again, she was quoting Job. So there are numerous instances throughout American history where a familiarity with the Bible gives us great insight into the quotes of the great people and our founding fathers. The words of the Ten Commandments are etched in stone at the Supreme Court of the United States. And many cities throughout this country bear biblical names. The editor of Time Magazine acknowledged the cultural significance to literature of the Bible. 1,300 times Shakespeare quoted the Bible. And many other times in literary passages, words of the scripture are quoted and alluded to. So the editor of Time Magazine encouraged everyone that it is necessary to recognize the rhetoric and the narrative of American history in light of the Bible. We as Christians, of course, know the negative impact, the disastrous social and educational effect that removal of the scripture from the public schools caused more than 60 years ago. But it's amazing to see that even secular sources have acknowledged its significance. The Bible is the best-selling book, not just of all time, but every year. So we as Christians need to recognize the significance of Scripture, not only for our own salvation, but for the general good of society, and to encourage others to look to the Word, to live by the book. Ken, would you read Joshua 1, verses 1 to 11, please?
Yeah, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Mm-hmm. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this, to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into the and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess.
Amen.
Thank you.
This passage focuses upon Joshua as this book which follows immediately after the five books of Moses. Joshua is introduced in Numbers 13, where Moses identifies him as Oshea, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Ephraim. But throughout his 40 years of service to Moses, that time of training, that time of preparation, Moses consistently identifies him as Joshua. And this symbolizes the new name that we as Christians receive in Christ, as the book of Revelation alludes to. But Joshua is a Hebrew word, a Hebrew name, the very root of Yeshua, Jesus. It means the Lord is our Savior. And this then establishes Joshua as a type of Christ. Many of the characters in the Old Testament have traits and actions which are types and shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here Joshua, the next leader, spent 40 years in service to Moses. It says here he's Moses' assistant, Moses' minister. And whereas Moses was identified as a servant of the Lord, during that those years of preparation, Joshua served as the leader in training, as the heir apparent to Moses. But during that time, though he demonstrated his leadership in military conquest during part of that time, his primary characteristic, as this passage says, is that he was Moses' minister, Moses' assistant. And he, therefore, is a lesson to us that as the Lord prepares us for the tasks which he would have us to do, we must first learn humility. We must first learn submission to the law of God, to the will of God, to the word of God. So before we as Christians can have any success, any hope, any prosperity in this world and in the next, we must, like Joshua, learn to diligently study and apply the word of God, to put it into practice, that we not just be hearers of the word, but that we be doers of the word. So this book of Joshua outlines the pattern, the process of the military conquest of the promised land. It was immediately following the events of the first five books of the Bible. Moses died in about 1406 BC. Joshua was born in about 1485 BC. So by the time of this book, the death of Moses, Joshua is now about 80 years old. He lived to be 110. So for the next 30 years of his life, he spent his time leading the people of Israel, conquering the land, and occupying and dividing it as the Lord had commanded. So he had his appointed task, even as Paul reminds the Ephesians that so the Lord has ordained his people unto certain good works, which were foreordained before the foundation of the world. Joshua was being prepared for this moment, even as the book of Esther makes reference, as Mordecai encouraged his fearful niece, as she was now the queen, but facing the death of all of the Israelites. Mordecai encouraged Esther that God had prepared her for such a time as this. And we need to recognize God's sovereign hand in the course of all human history, that even for this day, that he has ordained that you and I are in this world, in this time, for such a time as this. But for guidance, for illumination, for wisdom, for encouragement, he tells us, like he told Joshua, to live by the book. By the book is a phrase which has come into the general vernacular, the everyday language. It is typically a phrase which means to do everything according to established procedures. In whatever realm we're talking, whatever course of study, whatever subject, to live by the book is to live by established procedures. And in matters of faith, as well as in the practice of everyday life, there is no better source of wisdom and knowledge and understanding than the Word of God. And thus, Joshua is encouraged to do that which God has called him to do, but not to do it by his own will, not to do it by his own intellect or his own abilities, but to live by the book. So here, Joshua is encouraged. He's reminded that God has given all this land unto the Israelites. It was a process which took more than 400 years to come into fulfillment, but God was faithfully delivering on his promise. He told them that they would stretch from the wilderness, which was the deserts of Arabia, north to the land of the Hittites, and from the east, the river Euphrates, all the way to the Great Sea, the Mediterranean on the west. And over the next 30 years, the Israelites occupied that land. Wherever they would set their foot, they would take possession of it. And while they did not actually hold the title to it in some respects, nevertheless, they held dominion over it for the next 450 years through the reign of King Solomon. As Joshua 21, verse 43, reports that so God gave all the land that he had promised unto Moses and unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He faithfully kept his word. But in order to retain that land, Joshua and the Israelites were required to live according to the word of God which Moses had delivered unto Joshua, what he had instructed him to do, what he had observed from the word of God even at Mount Sinai, and the commitment of the people to live by what God had ordered them to do, to recognize that there would be blessing if they obeyed and cursing if they disobeyed, that there would be rewards for obedience and there would be consequences of disobedience. And so, too, we need to remember that there are expectations, even commands of God that remain even today. His word is unchanging. Even as God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, his word is abiding here and now. It's not a relic of the past that we can forget about. It is the continuing faithful word, the authoritative word of God himself that applies to his people today and to the world today, and for as long as the Lord shall tarry. So Joshua is encouraged to do that which is laid out for him and for us in the Word of God. He tells us to live by it, and by it we shall prosper, we shall have success, we shall have victory. Joshua was facing the prospect of prolonged warfare with large numbers of enemies, but he was told to fear not and be of good courage. Joshua was a military leader. He was called to do that which God ordered him to do. Even as you and I have tasks of obedience that he expects that we do. And Joshua led the people fearlessly. But several times in this passage, as well as throughout the book, he is repeatedly encouraged, even as Moses first encouraged him back in Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, to be fearful, or to be fearless, to be of good courage, to be strong. Joshua was not by nature a fearful man, but he, like us, needed encouragement from the Word of God, to be reminded of God's sustaining power in all of his circumstances. Whereas the other spies earlier in his life had been fearful, they saw only giants and large numbers of armies and fortified cities. But Caleb and Joshua trusted in the promise of God to give them the land that he had guaranteed unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And thus he was faithful. But Joshua, like us, needs constant encouragement from the Word of God. We have a natural tendency to dwell upon our own circumstances, to look at ourselves rather than to look to God, and to become discouraged. But we, like Joshua, are encouraged to rest upon the promises of the Word of God, to trust in what God has said he has done in the past, what he will do in the present, and what he will do in the future. And thus, we can have confidence, we can have boldness, we can have faith, we can have hope, to know that God is our sustaining strength, that we do not have our success depend upon our own abilities or our own level of commitment. It's the authoritative assurance of the Word of God which guarantees our prosperity and our success and our victory. He will do that which he has promised to do. Even as in the book of Revelation, it says that these are the things which must shortly come to pass. All the course of human history occurs under the direction, under the guidance, under the sovereign hand of Almighty God. And therefore we can have hope. We can trust in what he is doing. Even when it doesn't appear that he is working, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. And thus we can rest in the sovereign will of God, to trust that he is working all things for his glory and for our good. Joshua is reminded again of the necessity of meditating upon the Word of God, internalizing it into our thoughts and into our actions, to remember it, to meditate upon it day and night, even as the psalmist said that he delighted in the law of God and he meditated upon it day and night. Joshua is instructed to apply the principles of Scripture, not just to his military plans, not just to his efforts to conquer the promised land, but to each and every aspect of his life, even as we are instructed to apply the Word of God to our own lives, to live it, to live by the book. Here Joshua is reminded again of the urgency of commitment to the Word, to be strong and of good courage, recognizing that our strength doesn't come from ourselves. God demonstrates his power and his strength when we are at our weakest. And this then reminds us of the abiding faithfulness of our God and our Savior. We need not fear, even when we face opposition from the devil, because the Word of God tells us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. When we face even what seems to be overwhelming temptation, the Scripture tells us that God will provide mercifully an avenue of escape, and that as he has promised to abide with Joshua, as long as he would abide in the Word, so too he has promised to remain with us. Even as the Lord said, as he prepared for his ascension, he told his disciples, as he tells us, that he would never leave them nor forsake them. He will remain with us always, even to the end of the age. And of course, we read that in Matthew 28, verse 20, and again in multiple other passages in the New Testament, that the words of Christ, the promise of God, is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So that ought to encourage us, even in the struggles of our daily existence, in the sorrows and the tribulations and the persecutions and the sicknesses and all of the storms of life that we encounter, that God is sovereign. He's working out his purpose and his plan, and he will do all things according to his will. He knows the end from the beginning. He told Joshua that they would occupy the promised land. He had told that to Abraham and repeated it to Isaac and Jacob. He repeated the promise to Moses. And Moses lived his 40 years of preparing the people of Israel, preparing Joshua for this time, that during this next 30 years, they would occupy and conquer the promised land. But he promises to prepare us, to sanctify us in our earthly journey through this wilderness of life, that he's preparing us to occupy that promised land, the glorious eternity of heaven, the place where he has gone to prepare for us. So again, the centrality, the necessity, the urgency of studying the Scripture, of applying it, of diligently seeking its truth, recognizing that it is a bottomless treasure to be studied, to be prayed upon, to be meditated upon, to be applied by the grace of God to our daily lives, that we might be prepared for whatever we may encounter in this life, and that we may be prepared and made fit for that glorious eternity. Joshua fulfilled his task. He did that which he was called to do. And you and I are called to faithful service, to obedience. Joshua did that which the Lord called him to do. He experienced the blessing of God when he made sure that the people of Israel implemented and submitted to the commandments of the Lord. There were setbacks. There were times when chastening experiences fell upon the Israelites when they sinned, when they engaged in things which the Lord had prohibited. But again, there was always repentance. There was reconciliation that came, even as he promises us that when we fall short, he's faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And thus there is that hope and that assurance that we can turn back into the narrow way, that we can get back into the blessing and the presence of God as we submit to his word, as we apply it to our lives, as we live by the book. Joshua, when he received this word of instruction, he then immediately put it into practice. He summoned the commanders, the leaders of the armies of Israel, and he instructed them to prepare provisions, to prepare victuals for the next 3 days, that in 3 days' time they would cross over Jordan and they would occupy the land. The Word of God calls us to action. He calls us to obedience. He calls us to proclaim His truth, to warn others to flee the wrath to come, to edify the brethren, to train up the young in the way that they should go so that when they are old they'll not depart from it, to apply it to not only our lives but to influence our families, our communities, the world around us as we proclaim the message of hope and salvation that exists only in the Word of God. It is our guidebook for faith and practice. It is the source of truth and hope for every Christian, but it is also a source of the certainty of God's judgment upon the wicked, as we are called to faithfulness, to obedience, to prepare for that spiritual battles, the spiritual warfare in which we are engaged. The Scripture reminds us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that we wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. It is a spiritual warfare. But again, we need God's wisdom. We need God's strength. The Scripture reminds us that if God be for us, who could be against us? And thus, the key to our victory, the key to our success in the spiritual warfare is even as that hymn, 490, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching as to War. The battles that we face, the spiritual trials that we encounter, the temptations that we must resist are all part of that spiritual warfare. And we are exhorted to depend upon the Scriptures, to live by the book, and to march on, following the example of our Savior who has gone before. Onward, Christian soldiers. The hymn is 490.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On them, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the Church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that Church prevail. We soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, when with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Amen. Joshua was exhorted to focus his mind upon this word, to internalize it, to think about it, to put it into practice, to realize God's sustaining strength. So he was following the will of God and the word of God, even as we are instructed to put the word of God into practice in our daily lives, to live by it, to seek its guidance, to seek its wisdom, not just in our salvation, which is the first and foremost consideration for eternity, but even in our daily lives, our daily practice, that we might please him, that we might experience his blessing, that we might follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. For as he has gone before us, we are instructed and exhorted to follow him. We follow Joshua insofar as he followed the Lord, even as Paul exhorted us to follow him only insofar as he would follow Christ. We're not to follow men for the sake of following men. We are to follow them insofar as they follow Christ. Lead on, O King Eternal. The hymn is 488.
Lead on, O King Eternal. The day of march has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tent shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. For not with swords loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drums, but deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with tears, for gladness breaks like morning where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in his light, but crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
Amen. And may we follow the light that has been given to us in the pages of Scripture. May we apply it to our lives. May we journey safely and prosperously through this life, not in material possessions necessarily, but knowing that the Lord will provide all that we need, but he also will guarantee the glories of eternity for those who live by the book. Amen. Do we have any thoughts on living by the book? Anything from this passage this morning?